A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now a man was ill, Lazarus, from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother, Lazarus, who was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this, and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house, comforting her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now, many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. It was my dad who taught me how to ride a bike when I was growing up. Like most kids, I started by riding a bike with training wheels until I got the hang of the pedals and the brakes and the steering. Then when my dad judged me to be ready, he took those training wheels off my bike and began teaching me how to ride on my own. He started, of course, by holding on to the seat of my bike with one hand and one of the handlebars with the other, ensuring that I could sufficiently balance myself. But eventually, he let me go to try it on my own. Now, of course, I did not want him to let go, but he did anyway, because he knew what I couldn't understand with my 5-year-old mind. It was what was best for me. I needed to learn to balance and ride the bike myself. And once I had, I would love the freedom and the pleasure of riding a bike. But Dad had to let go, knowing full well that I might fall and even get a little hurt. He permitted that possibility for the sake of a greater good, learning to ride my bike. Of course, after learning to ride on my own, I soon realized that the risk was most definitely worth the reward. And I was grateful to my father for not only teaching me to ride my bike, but being willing to help me do what I probably would not have done on my own, even though it was what was best. Now, fast forward a little while, and Dad and I were on a bike ride together in the west end of Duluth, where I grew up. We were riding on a quiet section of Michigan Street, and for some reason, I lost my balance and fell off my bike, turning and falling in a way in which I ended up falling right into the middle of the street. From the asphalt, I looked up and saw a car coming towards me. Now, I was never in any real danger, okay? The car was a long way off. The driver had clearly seen me fall and was already slowing to a stop. But to a 6-year-old, it was terrifying. And right at that moment when I felt I was in danger, between me and the oncoming car steps my dad to flag the car to a stop and then to crouch down, help me up, dust me off, wipe away the tears, comfort me, and put me back on my bike. The lesson that my father taught me from all of this: sometimes to love someone means that you have to permit the potential for pain or struggle in order to bring about a greater good. But that to love someone also means that while that expert person experiences the pain and struggle, you are right there with them in the midst of it. And this is what happens in the beautifully powerful gospel that we hear today. Jesus raises his dear friend Lazarus from the dead, but he doesn't do so right away. It's a very important and perplexing statement made by St. John in his account of what happened. He says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when Jesus heard that Lazarus was ill, Jesus remained for 2 days in the place where he was." Now, at first hearing, that phrase from St. John probably strikes us as contradictory, right? Jesus loved the three siblings, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, so when he hears that Lazarus is sick, he stays where he is? What? If someone whom I deeply loved was very, very sick, wouldn't my natural response to be to go right away to visit him? Especially in Jesus' case, since he has the power to heal Lazarus from his illness. But he doesn't. He doesn't heal him. God lets Lazarus die. Jesus allows or permits Lazarus, whom he loves dearly, to die. Important here is to realize that Jesus doesn't cause or make Lazarus die. He simply allows nature to take its course. He doesn't intervene, at least not yet. Why, we might wonder? Because of what Jesus had said earlier. Remember, he said, "This illness of Lazarus is not to end in death," meaning that Lazarus will not remain dead from now on, "but is for the glory of God, that God may be glorified through it." Okay, wait a minute, we might be thinking, right? Did Jesus just say that he is permitting Lazarus to be sick and die in order to bring about a greater good? Yes, my friends, yes, he did. And he does. Oftentimes, God permits, and here the word permit is very important. He permits. He does not cause. He permits evil so that a greater good can come from it. Now, I readily admit that this is perhaps the most difficult teaching in the entirety of the Christian faith, because it can seem so backward to us, so kind of harsh and cold and calculating. But that's because of our lack of foresight and eternal vision, not God's. Because let's ask ourselves this question: what is the greatest good, the most important good thing that a human being can acquire? Is it love, money, worldly power, health, a long life? No, we know from the teaching of our faith that the greatest good that a human person can acquire, the thing that we should be willing to sacrifice anything else for, is heaven, eternal life. That's what we were created for. That's what God wants for us more than anything, to be with him forever in eternal life in heaven. There is nothing more important than the salvation of souls. Nothing. Because all the goods of this life, happiness, health, financial security, pleasure, relationships, those are all temporary. We all will die someday. But life after death is forever. And so is it possible that God will allow or permit suffering or difficulty in our lives if he can see that it is the best way, or perhaps even the only way, that we will accept him in our lives, choose God and a life of faith, and so be saved from hell and enjoy eternal life in heaven? Yes. And you know what? Any good father would do the same. My father knew that I could get hurt when he let go of my bike for the first time. But he also knew that it was the only way that I would learn to ride by myself, and that once I had done so, I would be grateful. God does something similar. He sometimes permits difficulty and evil in our lives but only and because he can see the potential for it to bring us closer to him and ultimately to bring us to eternal life in heaven. That's why Jesus allows Lazarus to get sick and to die, and even Martha and Mary struggle with this reality. They say to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But the Lord Jesus had a plan. He knew that by allowing Lazarus to die and then raising him from the dead 4 days later, the hope of salvation of the people who witnessed this incredible miracle and sign from God would be greatly increased. In other words, God must have known that healing Lazarus outright might have moved the hearts of some of the onlookers, but raising Lazarus from the dead, after he had been dead and buried for 4 days, that would glorify God much more and cause the people who witnessed it to turn to God and so be saved. Indeed, that's exactly what happened. As the gospel relates, after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, St. John tells us, "Now many of the Jews who had seen what he had done began to believe in him." But, notice this too, friends. While Jesus does indeed permit Lazarus to die, he does not remain aloof from the grief and suffering of Martha and Mary. He goes to them, comforts them, and in perhaps one of the most poignant moments in the gospel, Jesus himself weeps. Faced with death, which is the result of our sinfulness, and the grief that had gripped Martha and Mary, Jesus wept for them. And he does for us too. Jesus gets right down with us in our humanity, weeps with us, comforts us, and then reassures us, "I am the resurrection and the life." Far from setting up the world and then letting it unroll on its own, even when God permits evil for the sake of a greater good, he also accompanies us and comforts us and weeps with us in our suffering and pain. My friends, the spread of this coronavirus has caused much pain, sickness, suffering, fear, and even death. And as it spreads through the world, we may be left wondering, why? Why is God letting this happen? And my friends, I will readily admit that this is incredibly hard to accept and requires great hope and trust in God. But we must believe, friends, that God is allowing this for a reason. Now, that is not to say that he is causing it or making it to happen. And that is not to say that we should not do everything in our power to stop the spread of this illness, to help the sick, to protect the most vulnerable among us. We must do so. But the reality is that God has permitted or allowed this to happen. And as always, if God does that, it's only so that he can bring an even greater good from it. Now, discovering or knowing that greater good, that's another question, and that's something we may never know, on this side of the grave anyway. But my friends, we can trust and we can hope that God will bring good even from this. God will bring good from it. And my friends, we can also be assured and know with great confidence that even in our suffering, God is here with us, at our side, to comfort and console us, to mourn and weep with us, to reassure us that nothing, not even sickness or death, can separate us from his intense and infinite love for us. Jesus is with you, friends, to console you, to give you peace in the midst of fear, to ease your anxiety, to let you know that he not only sees our pain, he knows our pain. He knows what it is like to suffer physical pain and even to die. He did so for us on the cross. He is with us. In the midst of this health crisis, God is with us, and God will comfort us. He's allowing it now for a greater good, but that doesn't mean that he isn't with us. He is right here, right now, to console, to pick us up, and help us to keep going, trusting that he will give to us every grace that we need to remain faithful to him and trust in his love. So be not afraid, dear friends, for God is with you. No matter what may come, always remember, God is with you, and God loves you.